to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Left Traffic Nation? Welcome to Bonus Show Friday. That's right. It's episode 224 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. Hope you all are having a fantastic week. Lap Traffic Nation, don't forget this week's show is brought to you by Manscaped. Get to manscaped.com. Get some stuff. Use code LAPPED, L-A-P-P-E-D, at checkout. Get 20% off and free shipping on your order. Lap Traffic Nation, what a week it has been. Man, oh. Last week's show, or this past Tuesday's show, absolutely incredible. Corey LaJoy, Quinn Huff were on the show. Go check that out if you haven't already. But man, hey, this is week two of bonus shows. There's still two more weeks of bonus shows coming. Tonight, or today, this afternoon, whenever you're listening, got week two of the bonus shows with the Carnomaly 500. Got a stacked show lined up for you guys. Get to that in just a second. Next week, next Friday, will be the conclusion of this three-week awesome event. So there'll be a bonus show there. And then I am anticipating the Friday after that to be the first Friday or Thursday, depending on when we're able to get together and get it working, with Jayski and the bonus shows with Dustin Albino from Jayski.com that we're going to do a couple times a month. So it's been crazy. It's going to be probably eight shows in a four-week period, which I mean, you guys know I've done some bonus shows, but I have not done them to that extent. It's been so much fun. I'm going to get right into it because last Friday's show did go a little long, and I felt bad, you know. I didn't want to cut anybody out that took time to come onto the show. There were a lot of competitors, a lot of guys came on, so I apologize. Last Friday's went a little long. Today will not be as long as last Friday. How long will it be? I don't know. We'll find out when it's all said and done. But so here's what I want to set the tone for you guys. So just to recap, Carnomaly 500. With the eRacer series, Parker Kligerman, Landon Castle put together this incredible three-week event that is one of the highest paying purses in iRacing, sim racing, whatever you want to call it, all those anomalies there. It's been incredible. It's been so much to cover this. So we started out with over 400 competitors last week. That got whittled down to 88 with all of the prelim races, the heat races, qualifying races in week one. This week, 88 guys. And the coolest part was it was structured just like qualifying for Daytona. 88 guys ran a single lap qualifying run to set the front row. Then it was split up into some duels, basically. The Blue Emu 150s last night. And then that cut down to the grid that we've got and knocked down to 40 drivers. And we're ready to go racing for the Carnomaly 500 next Wednesday. It's been incredible. So that's where we're at. So what's going to happen tonight? Well, tonight we're going to kick things off with David Schildhouse. He is the point, the man behind the call alongside Landon Castle, Parker Kligerman on Twitch. He does an incredible job and had to get him on, right? We had Landon and Parker on, so we had to get David on. Also, Dylan, he's the photographer of the event. Yes, like it just blows my mind. You guys are going to hear me talk about this a lot because I'm so impressed and mesmerized by the fact of the duplication of basically race weekend has been done online and virtually, and it's just incredible. So I love that. Got Dylan coming on. We've got the pole sitters from the Valvoline pole night. We've got one of the dual winners. And let's see. Oh, by the way, Landon Castle's going to be on. And a special guest. So excited to close this thing out in a little bit, whenever that time hits, is going to be Kim Coon. Yes, Kim Coon, Miss Sprint Cup from MRN, from NBC, Pit Reporter. That Kim Coon is going to close things out. I'm very excited to get Kim on for the first time. So lots to do. Let's get things rolling. Let's kick this bonus show Friday off with David Schildhouse. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, making his first appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. If you've been watching anything on Twitch with the Carnomaly 500, you've seen him sitting right in the middle between Landon Castle and Parker Kligerman. He's the lead point guy. on the broadcast. It is David Childhouse. David, what's going on, man? Welcome to the Lap Traffic Podcast.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be here. First time, like you said, but hopefully not the last time.
There's this thing that once you're on once that very rarely seems to be your last. So, yes, there is a strong likelihood that you will be back on the show, man. So welcome, man. So let's get into this, man. First of all, I did a little background, and you and I kind of have a little similar path in that you've got like a finance accounting background. I've got political science and been in the mortgage industry for 20 years. Yet here we are knee deep in racing and iRacing and all that kind of stuff. Tell everyone a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I've been a race fan for most of my life. I've always loved cars. I started watching NASCAR in the mid 90s and, you know, my path through life has taken me a few different routes. There was a time back in 2011 where I did manage to get into working in NASCAR. I spent the 2011 season working in the truck series for the Siegs on the 39, the 93 truck as a mechanic and a spotter. So, you know, racing has always had a place in my life, even though my family wasn't in the racing industry and I'd never done any racing myself, just as a fan, but then elevated, you know, into a workplace environment for a while, which was incredible. And it's always been something that I've just cared about. And right now, you know, as you said, I have an accounting background, and that never stopped me from being a race fan, I guess you could say. Sure. But this whole world of racing and getting to know people, it's fun to bring different backgrounds together. I think that's one of the coolest parts.
Absolutely, 100%. Okay, let's talk about, before we get into the actual racing and stuff that we had on the track over the last couple of weeks, how did you get into, you know, iRacing, broadcasting through Twitch and all that kind of stuff? You know, what led you down that path? Like, man, there's a niche here, there's a need for this, and I'm going to go get it.
It's, you know, something I think I just sort of fell into, to be honest with you. I've been sim racing for 20 plus years, sim racing online since the early 2000s, and I've been an iRacing subscriber since 2009. But I never really considered the broadcasting element of sim racing. I was just interested in the racing itself. But a handful of years ago, I think I finally decided that I wanted to give it a try because I had been doing some light streaming on Twitch. And saw LSR TV, you know, as the big beacon of sim race broadcasting with Evan Pasoko. And I reached out to him and said, hey, you know, do you have any room for somebody? And you know, he brought me in and started doing a few shows with him. And next thing you know, I'm leading the broadcast for a series that they were highlighting. And yeah, every opportunity that I've had over the past handful of years has led to another opportunity. And it's such a good reflection for how life works too, and job opportunities away from sim racing and streaming. And I've just, I've taken every opportunity to learn something, to improve my craft, and then leverage it to find another opportunity. And it landed me in a position where, you know, somebody like Landon Castle and somebody like Parker Kligerman would look at me and say, he's the kind of guy that we'd like to have lead our big show. And I'm very thankful for that.
That's so cool. I love stories like that. That is awesome. All right. Let's talk about some of the racing that we've had over the last couple of weeks. So we start out, you know, week one, we've got over 400 drivers that we're going to whittle down to 88 over two nights of heat racing, qualifying racing, all that good stuff. I was impressed with the driving out there for most of the races. Some of those heat races got a little out of control. And then I'm like, you know, I'm talking to some guys last night, and I'm talking to our poll winners on Wednesday night, and I'm asking them, I go, you know, I had asked Chris, or I'm sorry, Nick, and I'm like, Nick, all right, man, what are we going to see with the duels? Are we going to see a little bit more mellowed out? He goes, yeah, man, I don't see it getting that kind of crazy. Maybe late in the race. But, man, both of those races last night were heavy on the cautions.
Yeah, the Blue EMU Battle 150s did not disappoint by any stretch of the imagination. And, you know, I had a feeling going into it, looking at the strength of field being over 5,000 for both of them. that we knew there were some huge names in these races, even without the front row starters in each one. And the racing, we hadn't seen it like this yet. We had seen fixed setup racing, you know, last week for the prelims. We had seen open setup single car qualifying. We just hadn't seen what these cars do with open setups in the pack, and these drivers push to their limits. And it was no surprise to me, I'll say, to see the names who rose to the top and took down the wins. And I was talking about this with a former Coke Series driver after the race last night, and we both agreed it was like a step back in time. We got nostalgic seeing the names finding success in these very cars that they were racing in and finding success in the Coke Series a number of years ago. And it was just, it was incredible to see. It took me back in time to a simpler time. And I think everybody likes that. But, you know, my big takeaway from the Blue Emu Battle 150s was the names that you would expect to see at the front of these races were there. And I think that that's just a preview of what we're going to see next week for the Carnomaly 500.
Oh, I love it. All right, let's go back to Wednesday night, Valvoline pole night. For the longest time, what felt like probably about the last, what was it, maybe 15 or 20 cars, it was Seth Dermachan up there at the front. And I had even messaged him. I'm like, dude, I'm just waiting for this last guy to go off and you know, let's go record, talk about the pole. And boom. Nick Ottinger, 88th guy off, goes out there, lays down the lap of the night, last one. I mean, I love Nick. I love a good narrative, and if that didn't give a good narrative right there, what'd you think about Nick going out last and taking the pole?
We had seen a lot of drama in last year's Firecracker 400 when it came to qualifying, and we were wondering, we being me, Parker, and Landon, we were wondering as a group, would we see the same thing this year for Carnomaly 500 qualifying? And it did not disappoint either. And Seth, as you said, you know, put that great time up, and we saw some big times. We knew the big times were going to come in the late session. That was the obvious advantage for finishing higher up in the prelim races the week before. Sure. So it was no surprise to see Seth go out there and put down a big lap. We know that he's got a lot of speed. Horizon Racing with Logitech, G Altus as a collective, those drivers, Marcus Ruckman, Michael Cozy Jr., all have a lot of speed. So I figured of those three, Seth Merchant had the best chance since he was going out late. However, waiting until the very last driver, the reigning eNASCAR Coca-Cola iRacing Series champion, to go out there and put down not only the fastest lap, but the only driver to get into the 0.5 bracket and to back up Parker's prediction to the T was very impressive. But again, as an eNASCAR champion, how surprised could we really be? Sure. I mean, I was proud of Nick. Huge moment. He knows how to thrive in a huge moment, and he did it again on Valvoline Pole Day.
That's so cool, man. All right. So let's talk about the Wits Racing Challenge that Nick took. All right. So he's got the opportunity, Lap Traffic Nation. He's starting last in the Carnomaly 500, our pole sitter, starting last for an extra $15,000 if he pulls off the victory. With what we saw last night in the duels, and like you mentioned, the open setups and all that, do you think Nick's going to have any challenge navigating through the field and through some potential melee out there to get back up to the front of the pack?
I believe he's going to have a difficult time. He's going to need to rely on some pit strategy to get track position throughout the race. It really just depends on how aggressive he wants to be to get to the front. But I think part of a plan for success for Nick Ottinger has to be getting to the front sooner rather than later, even though it's a 500-mile race and there's a lot of things that can happen. I think you improve your chances of success the further up the running order you are in this style of racing. We've seen consistently in both fixed setup and open setup racing that track position means the world, and it may even trump tires sometimes. So not to say that he needs to be driving like his hair's on fire to get to the front, but I believe he'll have to leverage some sort of pit strategy, two tires, something like that early in this race to get some track position back, and that'll reduce some of the stress that he's feeling. But I know he's going to be showing up with a sporty car, an amazing setup that's going to take care of him as long as he takes care of it. The question will be navigating traffic, avoiding any sort of incidents that happen in front of him. But I think he stands a good chance, a really good chance of pulling off the last of first challenge and pocketing a cool $18,000 for his troubles. That would be, you said you like storylines. I think that would be the ultimate storyline coming out of it.
That would be one hell of a narrative. That's for sure. All right. The big question now, and I think this would be a great question for the Twitch questions that you guys have been putting out there for some live interaction right before the stop or right before the drop of the green flag. I think a great question would be, are we going to get green flag pit stops?
That is a good question for the eRacer predictor. That's a very good question. We all want to see green flag pit stops. We were talking about this after the race last night. And Blake McCandless himself, who will be starting up inside the top six, I believe, after having an excellent Battle 150 himself, he said, man, I would love to see green flag pit stops and watch as half of the field gets speeding penalties because it's so hard to woe these cars down. They're coming out of, they're coming out of turn four, 240 to slow down to 50 miles an hour, I think is pit road speed right now. And, I mean, how do you cut 190 miles an hour in that short a period of time? You got to be on the binders immediately. So I would love to see it. We want to see these drivers put to the ultimate test with all the challenges and obstacles in the world, and executing a green flag pit stop, I think, is absolutely 100% part of that challenge. So yes, I would love to see it, and I will pass the message along to the eRacer predictor bots to consider that as a question for the eRacer predictor on Wednesday night.
I absolutely love it. All right, man, tell everybody where they can follow you on social media and keep up with what you're doing with your Discord, Twitch, and all that good stuff.
Absolutely. Thank you. You can follow me on Twitter at Schildhaust. It's underneath the overlay of the box when we're doing our broadcast. You can find me on YouTube at Schildhaust, and you can also follow me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Schildhaust. I appreciate the opportunity. It's been a pleasure to be a part of this broadcast once again, to come back with eRacer, Landon Parker, and everybody over there, and put these fun events on for the community to get involved with. The eRacer is so good about innovation. The eRacer predictor, it's just groundbreaking stuff that they're doing. I love being involved with it. And so far, 4/5 of the way there, this has been another fantastic event. Cannot wait to see what happens next Wednesday night for the Carnomaly 500.
Absolutely love it, man. Lap Traffic Nation, huge thanks to David for calling into the show tonight. Make sure you're watching him along with the competitors Parker and Landon Wednesday night on Twitch. I'll be out there as well. Man, thanks so much for taking some time for the Lap Traffic bonus show for the Carnomaly 500. Thanks so much. Have a great weekend and look forward to talking to you soon, man.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right, Lap Traffic Nation. Great to catch up with David there, get his 411. Just incredible. Like, you know, who would have thought that you could do something with broadcasting in sim racing? Like, you know, Twitch is a thing. Live broadcasting of gaming and racing and all of that, it's a thing. It's popular. And that's something I keep saying I'm looking to do some form of video content, whether it be live during the show for a portion of it or something like that. And that might be where you might find Lap Traffic here in a little bit once this whole event's over and I have a little extra free time to test the waters, if you will. So let's get Dylan on the line. Dylan is the official photographer for the event, and I was just blown away. Like, boom, yep, we got a photographer. All right, so let's get Dylan on the line. All right, Lap Traffic Nation joining me on the line. He's hanging out ready for the Blue Emu 150 duels tonight. He is the Carnomaly 500 official photographer. It is Dylan Nadwadney. Dylan, what's up, brother? Welcome to the show, man. How are you?
Doing well.
Well, man. Listen, we got the duels tonight. We've got we had an exciting Valvoline pole night last night. Matt, when you reached out and had mentioned that you were like doing photography work for this, I'm like, it was just one more piece of this incredible puzzle that just blew my mind. I've been talking about it on the show last week, this week, just, you know, how in depth and how realistic and how just, you know, if you go to the track and you see this, the Carnomaly 500 has it. And now it goes hand in hand. Now we got a photographer. Man, talk about that a little bit. You know, how did you get hooked up with Landon and Parker to do that? And you know, how does that work? You know, to take literally the same type of pictures of single cars on track you'd see with motorsport, you know, or the you go to the jski.com paint schemes page, like it's exactly what your pictures look like. You know, talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's kind of what I approach it towards, kind of getting those kind of realistic shots like you would see at the track. That's kind of my style that I like to do. I know some other ones, like I know Justin, who you had on here last week, he does it too, and he's like really big in the iRacing photo realm, and he has a different style. We'll all have a different kind of different styles in that. So that's what I kind of try and bring. I got connected with Parker and Landon. Actually, last summer, I didn't do photos officially for the event, but I was just experimenting with it and taking photos during that. Started getting connected with other people in the iRacing community, David Schildhaus, who I know you're going to have on here pretty soon, and then started doing stuff for him. And then I actually got connected with Garrett Smithley, doing some paint schemes and photos for him. And then got to know Josh through his race control. Josh Mendoza, and he reached out to me one night. He's like, "Hey, do you want to do photos for the Carnomaly 500?" I'm like, "Absolutely." I was on board from the minute he asked me. So I was ready to dig my teeth into it, and just been enjoying it this whole time. So it's a lot of work, but it's definitely been rewarding.
That's awesome, man. That's so cool. You know, is that your background, photography? You know, where do you want to see this go?
Yeah, so I'm actually a photographer in real life, too. I do started out at, 2013, 2014, going to hockey games, just taking my camera and shooting after taking a class on it in high school, and just started, kept practicing, kept doing repetition, all that, get everything down, and took it in high school. I have a degree in journalism, and I studied photojournalism, so I did that. Worked for a school newspaper. Ended up doing three semesters of an internship with FC Dallas, and then a year in 2018 with the Texas Rangers doing with them.
That's awesome.
Doing some FC Dallas work in and out of that. So photographer in real life, bring my camera to the racetrack sometimes whenever I go to races. And then
where's your home track?
I'm actually about 20 minutes from Texas Motor Speedway. So awesome. I'm actually going to the All-Star race later this spring, and then the IndyCar race in the summer. So
cool. Very cool. You got a favorite driver while we're at favorite tracks and all that kind of stuff?
I mean, working with Garrett, he's kind of become one of the guys I root for.
Awesome.
Another guy, I like Ryan Blaney just because of his personality, and on the NASCAR side. And used to be a big Elio Castro Neves guy back when he was racing regular full time in the series, but now I'm kind of hitched my wagon to James Hinchcliffe. So
cool.
Those are kind of the three guys that I like in the top series, at least, because I know I'm rooting for Landon in the Xfinity series and Parker and trucks. But
do you do any iRacing yourself, or do you just kind of stick to the photography side of things?
I do some, me and some people that I know, Clint Roberts, Derek Watkins, Joseph Selby. I know they competed in the prelims of this event. I'm going to do it with them. Another guy, Scott Ratliff, and a couple of other guys, DGS, Bad Gamer Swiss, who streams on Twitch, and then Bearded Gentleman, Bobby Patrica. We did the Daytona 24 this year. Just kind of, I do more kind of like leagues and all that kind of stuff rather than the official racing. So.
Sure. That's awesome, man. That's so cool. What are you looking forward to in the races tonight?
I know other people who are like that too. Yeah.
What do you think we're going to see tonight, man? Are we going to see some tame racing, or are guys going to go balls to the wall out there, and are we going to see some wrecks and stuff like that we saw during the prelims?
I think it may be a little bit more, maybe a little more tame than the prelims, just because you kind of you have more of the experienced drivers. Like I know Josh put out earlier today, the strength of field is the average SOF is like over 5,000. So you got a lot of experienced guys who know how to handle the car out there. Maybe a little bit of stuff possibly in the back, but I think towards the end it might start getting crazy. You're gonna have guys jockeying for position, trying to get a good starting spot. So I think it'll start off relatively tame, but then it'll start getting, don't want to say a circus, but it'll get kind of kind of wild towards the end.
Absolutely. I feel you 100%. Well, man, listen, thanks for taking some time to hop on here today. Tell me or tell everyone where they can find your stuff on social media and all that good stuff.
Yes, you can find all my photos and other stuff that I decided to post at all my socials. They'll be at Dean Adders. Same for Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, all the above. Find me all there. Not only do iRacing and motorsport stuff, but I also like to watch. Hockey's my other big thing, so post a lot about that on there. So
awesome, man. Well, cool.
Appreciate you giving me a follow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks again, man, and have fun watching tonight, and look forward to seeing your content.
Will do. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. All right, Live Traffic Nation, great to talk to Dylan and get his scoop and take on everything going on with the Chronomaly 500. All right, let's get to one of our competitors in the event. So here's the setup for this. So the gentleman I'm about to bring on, his name is Seth. And Seth was up at the top of the speed chart for a long portion of the second half of qualifying for the Valvoline pole night. And unfortunately, he did not make the pole, as you guys will see here in just a minute. But so here's the thing. Seth would be starting on the outside. However, it's my understanding that Seth will actually be starting on point and on pole because our pole sitter, Nick Ottinger, who you're going to hear from right after Seth, did take the challenge of the Wits Racing $15,000 bonus. So Nick, our actual pole sitter, is starting dead last for the event. And if Nick is able to race through the field and win the event, he picks up an extra $15,000. So that shifts everybody up one spot. So while Seth wanted to have that opportunity and unfortunately did not because Nick took the pole, Seth will actually be starting on the pole since Nick will be sliding to the back. So let's talk to Seth here and talk about his efforts in Valvoline pole night. All right, Lap Traffic Nation joining me on the line. He's starting second for the Chronomaly 500. He drives the number 57. It's Seth Dermerchant, right?
Dermerchant, yeah.
Dermerchant. What's going on, man? How are you?
Good, you know, good as I can be, you know. I'm happy that I'm locked into the race and don't have to go through the duels tomorrow to try to get the spot, but we were so close. I mean, but yeah, so far, because he got me by half a tenth, but you know, I'm happy with what we got, and yeah,
dude, those times, man, like they just were so close. I'm sitting here watching and it's just like, you know, hundredth of a second here, 200th of a second there. You were up at the top for quite a while there. I mean, you know, as you're watching car by car go, you know, what's running through your mind there?
Yeah, I was expecting there to be about five or six people after I went that could have challenged to beat me. And I kept seeing them. They would go off and they would run slower and slower. And then we get down to Nick and I'm like, okay, maybe I have a shot at this. And then he comes out here and runs the fastest lap I've seen anybody run. So, but we almost had it.
Yeah, oh, it was so close, man. I'm sitting there, and I'm like, all right, this dude's got it in a bag. He's been sitting up there at the top for a minute. He nailed it. Talk about your setup. You know, how much, you know, how involved did you get? You know, talk a little bit about your background. You know, give everyone the 411 on your iRacing career, your background, and the involvement that you've put into the Chronomaly 500.
Oh, a lot of time. I probably put upwards of maybe 10 hours into that setup, trying to make it as fast as possible, trying to get that 15K bonus. But we weren't quite able to find enough speed to do it. But yeah, I've been doing sim racing for 10 plus years and made the Pro Series last year. But unfortunately, we didn't make it to Coke. And yeah.
That's crazy. That's so cool. You know, this is something new for me that I've dived into with Landon and Parker with this, and I'm having a blast doing it. And it's just crazy the involvement of what people are able to put into it from a resource, a time perspective. And it's just crazy in terms of the realism, you know, in terms of the, you know, on track real life racing to sim racing it's unbelievable. Talk about what you're going to do over the next week. You're locked in. You're not racing tomorrow. Nick feels like that's a pro for him. He doesn't have to worry about, you know, racing extra time to put towards setup and all that kind of stuff. What's your thoughts on not racing tomorrow in the duels?
Yeah, just gonna work on the race setup a little bit more and try to help my teammates get in, Marcus Ruckman and Michael Cozy, and see. Hopefully, we can get all three of our cars in there for the Altus Racing team.
Absolutely. All right. So you've got teammates. You know, from the racing perspective and all that, and the purse and all that. Talk about, you know, what cashing in this event would do for you and the team that you guys have.
You know, it's really cool because I think this is the third biggest event prize pool wise that has ever happened on iRacing other than the Coke Series. So it's a pretty big deal. You know, I love what these e-racer guys have been putting on the events. They're always, in my opinion, the best, you know, so.
That's great, man. All right. Watching tomorrow, you know, what do you expect to see in these duels? You know, is it going to be as crazy as some of those early heat races were last week with, you know, it kind of being a little bit of a cluster bleep out there in some of the earlier ones? Do you expect it to be a little bit more clean? You know, what do you think we're going to see tomorrow in these Blue E-Mule duels tomorrow?
Honestly, I think it'll be more calm than people expect. The speeds and open setup are just so much faster than the fix. So I think we'll expect to see it get spread out quite a bit. And I don't know if we'll get a green flag pit stop in, but I think it'll be pretty clean. And I don't know.
Well, it's definitely going to be exciting. That's for sure, man. All right. So I can't imagine you're going to get much sleep in over the next week, getting out there ready for practice and all that kind of stuff. Tell everybody where they can follow you on social media and keep up with you over the next week or so while we get ready for the big event next Wednesday.
I mainly use Twitter. On my account, it's merch_N57. And then Altus Racing Team. That's my team's Twitter that we recently joined with, and go give them a follow. We just announced a week ago with our merger, and yeah.
That's awesome, Matt. Well, listen, good luck. I hope everything goes well for you, and who knows, maybe we'll be talking next week with you in Victory Lane.
Thanks, man. I'm gonna try my best to be there.
Absolutely. All right, man. Good to talk to you. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
See ya. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, there is Seth, your new pole sitter, if you will. All right, so let's get to our actual pole winner with the fastest speed, the only guy to crack the 38.5 mark. It is Nick Ottinger. He was on the show last week. And then after Nick, I'll do a little Lap Traffic social media. And then we'll get to Landon Castle and a few other surprises down the road. All right, so let's talk to Nick. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line. He was on last week on the bonus show one for the Carnarvon 500. He is back. He is the 2020 eNASCAR Coca-Cola Series champion, and he is your pole sitter for the Carnarvon 500. It's Nick Ottinger. Nick, welcome back, man. Congratulations, man. How you doing?
Thank you, man. I'm excited. You know, we got pole for this, you know, Valvoline pole day with these, you know, these events that Parker and Landon and all these guys at eRacer put on, and gosh, that was a nervous moment just going out there. Just, you know, it's a, you know, you're going 240 miles an hour almost, and you just want to make sure you hold, you know, your wheel and pits as smooth as you can. And that was a fast Logitech G machine. God, that was, you know, we got pulled by almost a full, you know, half a tenth, and that's pretty extreme of this track.
All right, so all right, we have so much to talk about here because I'm sitting down here in the NASCAR man cave. I've got the Twitch on one TV, I got the Pistons game on the other TV, and I'm watching these laps go, and I'm just watching how close these times are, 100ths of a second away from each other. You go out there. Here's the impressive part, Lap Traffic Nation. 88 cars ran qualifying tonight. You go out 88th and you put the thing on the pole, dude. What was going through your mind as you were sitting there and watching some of these times and watching these guys run? You know, talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, I was nervous, man. I can't put it any other way. I knew our Logitech G, you know, teammate, you know, Seth the Merchant was really solid in testing because we traded some times back and forth and, you know, throughout the day, and he was, you know, right there with me. I actually had to improve on my time a little bit to kind of see what we can get out of it. And, oh man, I was nervous going that last car out, you know, all eyes on you, seeing if, you know, you're going to actually put the lap down. And, you know, I knew we had a, you know, a solid car, and, I just had to make sure I had, you know, the momentum base, you know, going on my side and not really hinder myself as far as coming off and scrubbing speed. So it was a, gosh, it was, you know, very nervous, very relieving actually finishing that lap. So
what to talk about for a second there, you know, were you watching people's lines that they were running, or did you qualify knowing you were going to be going out late? Did you kind of set the conditions there for when you were practicing and not paying attention too much to that, running your own thing? You know, talk about your prep going into tonight.
Yeah, so I treat it just how I would, you know, a Coca-Cola Series practice for any qualifying or any line, you know, base to really just make sure I improve for myself. I'll obviously do the studying as much as I can, but ultimately, you know, I'm the one putting the preparation in, and I want to make sure I'm learning what I can do different and adapt in different approaches. So that's actually one thing that I actually improved on, was my line coming to, you know, basically off of two for the outlap and going into three and four, coming to take the, you know, the you know, pretty much the green and white at the same time. And that really propelled to, you know, a really stellar, you know, line, you know, speed coming to the line. And that just set up my whole lap where I can carry that momentum from the start of the lap all the way to the end of the lap. So it was very, very relieving to finally get it, man. That was, you know, I've done a couple of these events with Landon. He's done, you know, the Landon Castle Qualifying Challenge. And both times I've done it, I just not hit my marks. And, you know, this time it's just really relieving to finally being able to do that.
That's awesome, man. All right, so let's talk about the big news here. It broke earlier this week, the Witz Racing Products Challenge. The pole sitter, have the option. I talked about it at the start of the show tonight, to start at the rear of the field for an extra $15,000. Are you doing that, brother?
Yeah. That's a no-brainer, right? Yes, I don't know any person who would turn that down.
right, especially your caliber and your background on this, man. Hell yeah. All right, so let me ask you this. From that, you know, not to get too personal, but like, you know, how, you know, what will that do for your iRacing career and you know, in terms of, you know, being able to reinvest that in yourself just to get to that next level? How, you know, how much and what would that do for you?
Yeah, that's a very, you know, a very good question, honestly. You know, I was lucky enough at Homestead in the Coke Series finale to win our first championship in 9 years. And, you know, that paid, you know, in the Coke Series, that paid $100,000 for the winner. So, you know, obviously you got taxes and all that stuff you got to pay. But, you know, just being able to, you know, it's more of being a competitor in that sense. And to answer your question on that, it'll go a long ways because, you know, we're effectively kind of building a career out of this finally as sim racers. Sure. And this is our peak, you know, what a sim racer would want. You know, we got connections with the NASCAR world. We got connections with, you know, the, you know, pretty much esports organizations in the world. And, you know, this is, you know, we're finally getting to that level where in sim racing, you're having all this, you know, come together to where you can make a living out of it and a career out of it. So to go back to, you know, that point about the 15,000 from Witz and stuff, I mean, that goes huge. You know, this is what sim racers want to do. They want to, you know, make and strive, you know, to be better themselves. And that's more incentive for them to go push harder, you know, through testing and stuff. So it'll go huge personally for me. I mean, you know, that's a good chunk of change, man. 18,000 total if you actually win a race.
Absolutely.
So I mean, that's minimum wage job, you know what I mean? So
right.
That's huge.
You know, hey, if you can make a living and be happy, you know, doing what you love to do, and it's not a grind to get up, and it's, you're doing something that people, you know, wish they could do well enough to get paid, you're doing something right, man. So that's awesome, and that's so exciting. All right, a couple more for you here. So, you know, I talked a little bit about at the start of the show, kind of comparing how week two of the Carnomaly 500 is kind of like the you know, qualifying for the Daytona 500. You've got your qualifying laps to set the front row, and then you basically got your duels. The Blue Emu races tomorrow to set the line up for the Carnoumenah 500 and to knock a few more competitors out there. Unlike, though, the Daytona setup where the front row guys get to actually run the duels, you're not running the races tomorrow night. Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? Talk about that for a minute.
Oh, it's a huge, benefit. I see it as a benefit, truly. And the reason why I do is because, I still have all that testing time with my guys to put the same amount of, race practice in. So I may not get the exact benefit of having 20-plus cars, 40-plus cars out there with me, but I'll have, the advantage of just, the relief of not having any stress, obviously, tomorrow, and any stress, going into the Carnoumenah 500. So I have all the practice time I need. I got a great group of guys, got great partners with, Logitech G, and it's, I love events like this. I can't thank, Landon and, E-Racer and Parker and them enough for doing what they do for the iRacing community, for one, and then just doing events like this. It's a special event to be a part of.
Absolutely. I'm loving every second of it, man. All right, man, tell everybody where they can follow you on social media, man.
Yeah, it's you just search, Nick Ottinger on Twitter. I don't want to say self-explanatory, but you spell Ottinger, the last name, and you can search for me on Instagram with the same thing. So I'm and interactive on Twitter and Instagram. I love interacting with people on there and just expanding my knowledge in any field. So yeah, that's where you guys can follow me.
Awesome, man. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, huge thanks to Nick Ottinger for taking some time, your pole sitter for the Carnoumenah 500. Hey, man, good luck, get some practice, and who knows, maybe we'll be talking to you next Wednesday as well, man.
Yeah, I hope so, man. It's a huge moment for us, so I'm gonna put that work in.
Absolutely. All right, man. Good luck the rest of the event, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Absolutely. We'll see you. Well, Live Traffic Nation, Nick is fired up. Nick is ready for Wednesday in the Carnoumenah 500. Cannot wait to see him race through the field. I know he's going to race through the field. Is he going to win? Man, if there's somebody that could do it based on talking to some of these people, Nick is definitely one of the more respected drivers in the field, and I cannot wait to see him drive through the field Wednesday night. It's going to happen. It is definitely going to happen. All right, Lap Traffic Nation. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Follow on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast, on Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, at Lap Traffic PC, all that good stuff. Make sure you're following and hanging out over there. Make sure you tell your friends about the show. You can listen to the show on just about any social media platform that you can think of. You can even tell Alexa to play the Lap Traffic Podcast, and she will. I'll get to some more new follower shout outs on Tuesday's show. And don't forget stickers, koozies, all that good stuff. If you want a free koozie, all you have to do is go to the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Fill out the contact page with your name and address, and I will be more than happy to send you one for free. And I don't know, you guys may have noticed, I put out on the website a new t-shirt idea that I'm thinking of doing. I haven't done much with the store. It's there. I get stuff for promotional stuff to send stuff out for free and all that kind of good stuff, which I love to do. But hey, there is a store on the website, and I'm thinking of giving it a little makeover. We're going to refresh it a little bit and get some updated products out there, some updated logos, colors, all that kind of good stuff. We'll see what happens there. All right. It's enough plugging my own stuff. Oh, well, I do. I got to plug one more thing. Get over to manscaped.com and, get some stuff for the family jewels, as they like to say. You get the official read on Tuesday. Go to manscaped.com. Use code LAPPED, LAPPED, at checkout. Get 20% off and free shipping. Okay. All right. Let's keep things rolling. Let's get Landon Castle back on the line for the sixth time. He's climbing up the charts. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, making his sixth appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. You've seen him on the Twitch broadcast for the Carnoumenah 500. He's on the left or the right side, depending on your point of view from the perspective of the broadcast. It's Landon Castle. Landon, what's up, man? How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. I think I'm stage right. Is that how that works?
Yes, I think so.
Stage right, yes.
Matt, welcome.
Studio right. I don't know. Thanks for having me, man. What an event we've been having so far. Thanks for covering it.
Oh, man, it's been a blast, man. And your appearances, they're racking up. You're climbing up the guest list chart there in terms of the appearances. So you're moving right up there. Well, listen, man, there's so much to talk about. What an incredible two nights for week two of the Carnomaly 500 with Valvoline Pole Night on Wednesday and the Blue E-Mule Duels last night. Let's start with Valvoline Pole Night. It looked like Seth Dermachant was going to take that thing. He was holding steady up there for probably the last 20, 30 minutes of qualifying. But then, I'll say out of the blue, but maybe not out of the blue, Nick Ottinger comes out 88th and gets the pole, man. How incredible and what a storyline that was.
Oh my gosh. I mean, it really was thrilling. Seth is a master open setup maker, master super speedway qualifier. He qualified on the pole and won the fake 500 earlier this year, a big throwback to a classic Indy 500 race format. And he was ice cold, man. And that was pretty awesome to see his lap. But Nick, I mean, he cleared the field by almost a half a tenth. It couldn't have been more perfect. So, and of course he took the Wits challenge to drop to the back of the Carnomaly 500. So he will be starting last in the Carnomaly 500. But if he wins, he's going to win an extra 15,000. So his total take home would end up being 18,000, which is just incredible.
That is incredible. You know, when you think about, you know, to be able to do iRacing and to have that kind of let's call it big boy money on the line, man, that's no chump change. That'll change some things for somebody, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely. He's definitely racing for something special. I mean, everybody out there is. It's a in terms of iRacing events, I mean, this is a high paying event. This is as high paying as it gets. It pays $100 just to start the race, but it pays $3,000 to win. I think like 1500 for second. So, you know, there's some real money being paid out and we pay deep through the field. So it's a $15,000 purse plus the extra 15 potential. And we try to pay as deep as we can. In fact, all the drivers that made it to the qualifying round into the Blue Emu Battle 150s, got at least their entry fee back. So
that's awesome.
We feel like with these events, we ask a lot of the drivers in terms of commitment, which is for their benefit. I mean, we want them to enjoy the event. We want it to be fun. You know, we don't want to be pulling teeth to do
it. Right.
but when it's a lot of stress and a lot of work. I mean, they have to build open setups. These drivers spend hours and hours testing. So we feel like we don't want a top heavy prize paying event. We want the event to pay deep into the field. So that's how we pay all the top 88 drivers all get some form of prize money. And like I said, it's $100 to start last or to finish last in the Carnomaly 500. You know, someday I'd like it to pay $1,000 to finish last in the Carnomaly 500.
Wouldn't that be incredible?
Oh, it'd be incredible. But for Wednesday, it's $100.
That's cool, man. All right. So I want to go back to Nick just for a second. Starting last and I talked to Schildhaus about this a little while ago. With what we saw with the racing last night, you know, we saw quite a few cautions in both of the duels. We guys wanted to get in. Guys wanted to make it. They raced it. And guys are going to want to get as high of purse as they possibly can that we just talked about. Do you see any struggle with him being able to get from the back to the front of the pack and avoid the carnage that may ensue between the drop of the green and the checkered flag?
I don't know. I mean, it was really hard for drivers to get through the field. As we saw in the Battle 150s, I think that as long as there isn't a big one type wreck that gets him, that he gets collected. And I think we could see him inch his way forward just one car at a time. He's got 500 miles to do it. You know, he might take a risk on a two tire strategy at some point in the race if there's a quick caution in the end, and maybe the leaders all come down pit road. I think a lot of the incidents could be 2, 3, 4 car wrecks that he just has to, dodge to get through the field. But my prediction is it's going to take him all race to get there. if he's there by lap 50, if he's there by lap 50, then I think the race promoters are going to be biting their nails.
Oh, that's
the
great.
Rest of the race.
I love it. Let's talk about the open setups for a minute. You know, you being a driver, you know, where you spend, you know, sometimes pre-COVID, you know, where you'd have, you know, 2 to 3 practice sessions at a track, you'd have qualifying, you'd be with your guys in the garage, you know, making adjustments, making changes, then during the race, making changes that you can, you know, talk about what some of these guys may have felt last night in terms of, you know, what they witnessed and felt on the track in terms of how they can adjust and what they can adjust, like how involved the adjustment process is on these cars for sim racing.
Yeah, it's very much like the real thing. I mean, the qualifying setups were pretty aggressive when it comes to camber and getting the car low and getting the car to travel so that you can carry speed. You know, the physics of the car are based on real life cars. So a lot of the car setup strategies are the same as real life. So moving to race setups, you know, that a lot of the drivers found that they had to build some more grip into their car for a race to make a long run work. And I think that after the Battle 150s, there's some drivers that are going to try to maybe build even more grip into their cars for the Carnomaly 500. It's going to be the Battle 150s were night races where these races, or the Carnomaly 500 is going to start in the late afternoon, probably around 4 o'clock. So we're going to see a lot of sunlight. It's going to be really slick for the first 3 quarters of the race. It's not going to get dark until probably the last 25 to 40 laps. So, drivers are going to have a setup that's flexible, that can, you know, make balance adjustments from pit road for that last stint. And I would say that I think a lot of drivers that were anticipating, you know, having a trimmed out car and carrying a lot of speed down the straightaway, I've been hearing for some drivers that may not pay off as much as they thought it would. And that the most important thing is to get a car that can get through the corners. So, there'll be a lot of testing going on. We're going to be trying to put up practice races, maybe following along with those on, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, kind of get a feel for what drivers are working on. But I would imagine that some drivers are going to leave their cars alone from Thursday night's Battle 150s, but there's a lot of drivers that definitely need to tune it in a little more.
Make some adjustments. Absolutely. All right. Now we'll wrap with this because I think this would be fun. Schildhaus liked the idea. I think that one of the predictor questions on Twitch next week, right before the very first one before the race starts, needs to be, will there be green flag pit stops?
Will there be green flag pit stops? Yeah, that is a great predictor question. I'd love to see it. You know, we'll see if there'll be a green flag pit stop. You know, these are the best drivers on the service in iRacing. You know, we started with nearly 400 drivers. We've narrowed it down to these. We've lost a lot of good ones along the way. We have a lot of NASCAR, iRacing, Coca-Cola Series drivers in here. And we've had a lot of NASCAR drivers that were eliminated in the prelims. We've had some eliminated after the Battle 150s, and there's a lot left. But this is a very high I-rating field, very high strength of field, as you call it in iRacing. If there's any field that's capable of putting together green flag pit stops at Daytona, it's this one. But when they do get to that point, it's going to be hard to get to pit road without spinning. It's going to be hard to get the car slowed down without speeding on pit road. It's going to be hard to get off of pit road on the apron. So it'll make it very interesting.
Absolutely. So I know last night the average rating, I think I heard, was around 5,000. Do we know what the average rating is for the starting grid?
That's a great question. We should know that. I don't know that off the top of my head, but I would imagine that it's somewhere in that range or maybe higher than 5,500.
Awesome. That's incredible. All right, Landon, thanks so much for hopping on. Tell everybody where they can follow you and the Carnomaly 500, Twitch, all that good stuff.
Yeah, obviously I'm on Twitter. That's where I'm the busiest. Landon at Landon Castle on Twitter. You can also follow at eracer underscore GG on Twitter. That's E-R-A-C-R underscore GG on Twitter. And then on Twitch is where all of our live broadcasting will be. That's where you'll be able to play the eracer predictor fantasy game during the live broadcast. Win some prizes. That's eracer underscore GG on Twitch. So follow along and we'll see what happens. We'll see if Nick Ottinger can come from the last row and win $15,000 extra dollars.
That's right. Yes. Yes. All right, man. Well, listen, it's been great to catch back up with you. Look forward to having you, Parker, and the race winner for next week's bonus show, man. Hey, enjoy the weekend. And oh, by the way, Lap Traffic Nation, Landon's been so busy. He's been doing all this stuff with the E-Racer and the Carnomaly 500. Don't forget, he's got to go race in a race car this weekend at Homestead, man. Good luck. Let's get a top 10 finish this weekend.
You got it. Thanks, Brandon.
Yeah, we'll see ya. Oh, Live Traffic Nation, how great is Landon Castle? Love that guy. And I cannot wait to have the race winner, Parker Kligerman, Landon Castle, on the show same time next week. It's going to be so much fun. I'm looking forward to that. I can't wait to hear the excitement of the race winner to win an event like this. This is high caliber. This is as high as it gets with what Landon and Parker are doing. And I am pumped. I cannot wait to feel that emotion and give it right back and have some fun next week for sure with whoever wins the Carnomaly 500. But right now, let's get to our Blue Emu winner from last night. It's Ray Afala. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, I am joined by the Blue Emu 150 race winner. He's a four-time iRacing champ. He's the driver of the 51 Toyota Rowdy Energy. It's Ray Afala. Ray, what's up, man? Congrats on the win.
Thank you. How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm awesome, man. Great to talk to you. Man, that was an interesting race, and I want to get your perspective on it. You were out front most of the time, which is good because, man, there was a lot happening in the back. Kind of reminded me of some of the early prelim races that we had last week. I wasn't sure what we were going to get. Was it going to be tamer? I talked with a couple guys beforehand and said, like, the average start rating of all the competitors tonight was, like, over 5,000. I'm like, okay, this thing's probably going to be pretty tame to, like, five to go. That was not the case. You know, tell me how it went for you being out there on the track.
Yeah, so it started out fairly calm. I think we went, you know, 7 or 8 laps green, and I thought we could I thought we'd really go green for a while, and then I think they wrecked at the very back and they brought a yellow out, and I kind of said I think that ruined the race because you know, generally at the very start of a race, people are fairly cautious and they take their time, but once they learn their car, you know, for the following restart, they're a lot more aggressive, and that's when the wrecks start happening. So, yeah, it was fairly hectic. We were able to stay in the top five, I think, most of the race, and nothing overly complicated happened in pit strategy. And, you know, when we fell out of the lead, it's because other guys took 2 tires, and we were able to get back up there fairly quickly and take the lead back.
Sure, man. Now, it was an exciting race to watch. And as we're talking now, we're about 15 laps into race number 2. I think we've had one caution already in that thing. So that thing's shaping up to kind of maybe shape out how the first race ran. Talk a little bit about your team, how you got started in iRacing. 4-time champ, man. You've raced for some of the great teams in NASCAR representing their brand from the iRacing world. Talk a little bit about your sim career and all that.
Yeah, so, I mean, it goes all the way back to, like, Mario Kart with the Nintendo 64 and me
dropping really some liking, bananas, baby.
Yeah, really liking racing and, you know, just being a fan of NASCAR and Formula One and then IndyCar. I mean, any racing I could find on the TV as a kid. Obviously, it wasn't as easy as now. You know, back then, you had to, like, go through the TV guide, and you didn't have, like, the internet like it was now. We're talking, like, late 90s here. So, you know, it was any racing I could find on the TV, I'd want to watch it, and then I wanted to go get into racing as well, and didn't really have the funds for it. So naturally, you know, as a kid, you're going to go to the, you know, PlayStation games and things like that. And then once I got a powerful enough computer, got into NASCAR 2003, and from there on, eventually got invited to the Dale Junior's League in 2K3. You know, built several friendships there with Dale, and Denny Hamlin was in the league, and I've known Denny for a while. In racing guys like Truex, Keselowski, those guys, racing those guys online like 15 years ago, it's crazy to think about. And then iRacing started, which is already 13 years ago. So, it's been a heck of a ride. I mean, they announced the world championships were announced like in 2009. They were going to start in 2010. And, I remember thinking, wow, because back then everybody was like, in different splits, and you never really had like a, it wasn't now where like everybody kind of organizes big races and everybody just kind of races together. Back then, everybody was so new to iRacing, and you just kind of show up on a certain night and you might have two or three really fast drivers in your race. And then I remember thinking, this series we're going to have is going to have like all the drivers in the same track, all of the really good drivers in the same track. And it's not going to be based on invite like 2K3 was with their leagues and stuff. It's really just going to be based on merit. And we're going to see out there, I thought it was crazy to me that some really good driver that was used to winning was going to be out there running last. I remember thinking that. So, I don't know. So much has happened. It's hard to summarize it.
I apologize to Live Traffic Nation out there, because I'm just so mesmerized and amazed. So I've said this with just about everybody I've talked to. So to those listening, it's going to sound like a broken record over the last week and a half doing this. But the level of involvement that goes into this is just crazy. And so talk for a minute about, we started last week with over 400 competitors in the event, and we got it down to 88 for week two here. We've had a wide range of different skill sets out there on the track, from some guys that are just like, hell, it's $25. Maybe I'll get to say I raced against Kyle Busch in one of the heat races, totally understand that. Then there's guys like you and Nick Ottinger out there, that are career champs from the sim racing world. Talk a little bit about what it was like racing against some of the different level of competition, and talk a little bit about your involvement as far as, do you have a team for setups for different cars, different tracks? Get into a little of the nuts and bolts there.
Yeah, so my main team is Legacy Esports currently, and in this race, in the first race, it was Brandon Cattell and Jake Nichols, which they both transferred over, and now here in the second battle, it's Chris Overland, Kyle Putz, and they're running second and third. So we've got a good car. Brian Blackford made a really good base, and Brian was a former teammate of ours, but still, we still work together and share information here and there. But joining one of these these big events were awesome, back in the day, like back in NASCAR 2003, it was like a really big deal. And with iRacing, it's kind of been lacking a little bit in the big event category, just because I think the Coca-Cola series kind of just takes the cake when it comes to like a big event. But then you guys, you have like Landon and Parker have put this eRacer deal together, and it's just been awesome, just to be a part of it and everything they're contributing. Obviously, they're well-known drivers in NASCAR, and I think the first event, if I'm not mistaken, this is the second event, right? So the first event was last year in the Firecracker.
Yep.
And which I tried to make that race, but I was racing at a friend's rig for the qualifying races, and I didn't know the rule book, and I passed everybody on the high side on a restart or something that wasn't allowed, so I got black flag to the back, and that was the end of my race. So I remember watching that race, thinking, man, that's really cool, racing those 1987 cars at the old Daytona. But here we are, with these Gen 5 cars doing 250 miles an hour out there on the freshly paved Daytona. It's
that's crazy.
It's a really, really fun event. And any event that is like that has like 400 entries and you have, you know, like 16 prelims or whatever it was, you know, just so many different ways to transfer, you know, and now we're finally into the big show. You know, we had a lot of big names too that didn't make it. So it's not just a guarantee out there that you're gonna transfer in one of these things.
No, that's for sure. I mean, hell, we Kyle Busch didn't make it. A couple other guys, you know, Garrett Smithley's running in this one now in duel number two. You know, hopefully he gets that transfer through to next week for the big event there. Man, that's so cool. Man, I don't want to take up too much time. I appreciate you coming on, and hopefully, maybe, who knows? Maybe we're talking next week after the race Wednesday with Parker and Landon. I'm really looking forward to that. Listen, tell everybody where they can follow you and your iRacing team at on social media.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just Ray Alfala, pretty much on Twitter, Facebook, and Legacy Esports also, and Joe Gibbs Racing. You know, I'm driving for Joe Gibbs this year. That's a pretty awesome deal. Rowdy Energy. I know Kyle's really involved in the series. So I was helping crew chief him through the prelims, and he got taken out, unfortunately.
No
but
kidding. Dude,
I think he'll be.
Cool.
Yeah, he'll be. He'll be participating in more of these. I'm hoping he gets the there's a promoter's choice, I think. So I think he's still eligible for that. It'd be cool if he got into that. But so Ray Alfala on social media, Rowdy Energy and the Virtual Racing School, big supporters of mine. And yeah, I'm just really looking forward to the Carnomaly 500.
That's awesome, man. Hey, stick on the line for 1 second. Lap Traffic Nation, huge thanks to Ray for calling in. Good luck next week. Hope practice and all that goes well for you. And look forward to seeing you on the track next week.
Thank you.
Oh, Lap Traffic Nation, Ray, he's fired up. He is ready to go for the Carnomaly 500 on Wednesday night. I'm excited to see Ray and Nick and Seth and Chris, who all got victories over the last couple nights, to see what they do on the track along with the other competitors. It's going to be fierce. I'm excited, man. Who knew I'd get excited over watching sim racing? I'm pumped. I'm jacked. I've hoped. I have created some excitement that maybe you guys didn't know you had in this. It's been so much fun on Twitch to watch the live stream, the broadcast. It's so interactive. There's the chat feature. There's the predictor to where you can, they ask questions throughout the night to where you can, you know, give your responses. It's almost like a live fantasy thing. And it's so much fun. And it really is. And I hope you guys tune in next Wednesday for the main event, the Carnomaly 500. I'll be out there on social media. I'll be in the Twitch chat, all that good stuff. So if you haven't tuned into any of these events yet, make sure you go tune in and watch next Wednesday night. All right. Now, it's time to wrap this. Look at this. It's only an hour 7. I promise a shorter show. You're going to get a little shorter show than last Friday. That's for sure. It is time to wrap this thing up with very, very special guest. It's Kim Kuhn. Lap Traffic Nation, I am so excited. It is late on Thursday evening. The Blue E-Mule duels are over. And out of the blue, very surprised guest tonight. She's been on pit road with MRN, with NASCAR, with NBC. It is the legendary Kim Kuhn. Kim, what's going on? How are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me. This has been so fun.
Thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. I was surprised to see you on the screen last night. Talk about your involvement with the Carnomaly 500, with Parker, Landon, and all that. What did you think of the racing over the last couple nights that we've had?
The racing has been phenomenal. I love this series. You know, I've been friends with Parker and Landon for a while now, and I've worked with each of them. They gave me the opportunity to kind of step in and do some pit road reporting last year when they got going with this series, and then asked me back this year. And it's crazy to me how much this is like pit reporting when I am on boots on the ground covering stuff for MRN. You know, it is really real racing. And I just find it crazy. The action has been so fun to watch. You know, last night we had some exciting things happen during qualifying, with Nick Ottinger, you know, being the last one to qualify.
Yes.
I know, you know, Seth Merchant is there probably holding his breath for Nick's entire lap, and Nick hopscotches him, gets the pole. But I love too that he is choosing to do the
Wits Racing Challenge
and start from the back, because it's going to be so fun to see him hopefully pick off cars and work his way to the front. He's a guy I'm definitely going to be watching next week.
Absolutely. You know, what you just said, boots on the ground, best phrasing I've heard with this, because I've talked with guys over the last couple weeks, you know, not on a regular basis, but I've been in the media center for some race weekends, and I've been doing this for a little bit. Talking with Landon and Parker over the last couple weeks doing this, I was just blown away by what they put together on Discord and with Twitch. Like, they literally recreated a NASCAR media center, a NASCAR garage, and it's just unbelievable how, and not to discredit, but I've been blown away by the professional side of things and how much they recreated basically race weekend with this.
I definitely agree with you, and they've really given me a newfound respect for iRacing. And you know, I got a little taste of it last year, and even from last year, they've upped the game. They have the predictor this year, which has been so much fun. I haven't partaken tonight or tonight, but I think I might have to jump in and do some predictor action next week for the big show, the Carnomaly 500. But it's been so fun to watch, and then just some of the incentives and the money that's been thrown into it this year, just to really get people excited about it. So again, I was involved a little bit last year, and I'm so excited to be back this year. And I'm proud of them for what they've brought together and what they've put together with this.
Absolutely. You know, it's unbelievable. And the mere fact of you've got guys like Kyle Busch that didn't make the event. Kyle Busch wins everything he touches. He's not winning the Carnomaly 500. And there's guys out there that are making a career out of sim racing, which is just awesome. Any way you can capitalize on doing something that you love, I can get behind 100%. And so I love the fact that these guys are going out there, the time, the commitment, the excitement level of everybody that I've talked to, whether it was running heat races last week to the polls last night to the duels tonight. The intensity level is just unbelievable. And I'm excited because that's transferred over to me doing this. I can feel your excitement. Kim, I'm so excited for next Wednesday. Like, I cannot wait for the Carnomaly 500 next week. And I never thought I'd say that about a sim race. And I'm pumped.
Oh, I'm pumped too. Just looking at the Blue Emu Battle 150s tonight and all the drama that we saw, all the action, all the different strategy, and to think that we get 500 miles of it next week. I loved the finishes in both of tonight's battles, but I'm hoping that we get some longer green flag runs in the Carnomaly 500. I really want to see green flag pit stops. I know the drivers probably don't want to hear that, but if you know anything about Daytona, the transition off the racing surface onto pit road under green is so difficult. It is one of the biggest challenges about that track. And so I'm hoping that we will have to see green flag pit stops next week, because melee will ensue, I think, if we do get green flag pit stops.
Absolutely. 100%. Kim, I think that's a great way to wrap this up and to set the teaser for next week. Tell everybody where they can follow you at on social media and anything you've got coming up that people should be keeping an eye out on.
Yeah, absolutely. You can follow me on social media. My handle is at Kimmy Kuhn. I'm actually headed to Homestead Miami Speedway this weekend to cover the NASCAR races. So you can hear me on MRN for both the NASCAR Xfinity race and the Cup Series race. And then I'll be back next week for the Carnomaly 500 pit reporting again. So again, very excited This series is so much fun, and if you can't hear it in my voice, I don't know how else to sell it to you.
Absolutely. I love it. Kim, thank you so much. It means the world that you took a few minutes to come onto the show last minute. I really appreciate that. Safe travels to Homestead. Hopefully get to see you at a track sometime soon this summer. And like I said, thanks again, and maybe we'll talk to you next week, too, after the Carnomaly 500.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the coverage. I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to do it for bonus episode 224 of the Lap Traffic Podcast, week two of the Carnomaly 500. Everybody, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, at Lap Traffic PC. Subscribe, download, tell your friends, retweet the contest, all that good stuff. It's still going on out there. I look forward to talking to you guys this weekend with Homestead Miami, and I can't wait to be back next week with the finale of the Carnomaly 500. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!